Motocross world champion Courtney Duncan has done what no other female Kiwi rider has done, win a world championship title multiple times, being number one 4 times in 5 years. You'd think this 28-year-old from Otago would kick back a bit. But from the outset, this trailblazer has been determined, setting her sights higher each year and not taking anything for granted. There's yet more to come in her impressive career as she aims to inspire more girls into motocross. And she joins me now. Thank you for joining me, Courtney.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
So you're in Holland right now with pre-season testing and training. How's that going?
Yeah, no, we are, like you say, we're in here in Holland and just kick-starting the season, really. I've got 3 or 4 weeks to go before the season opener and change of teams this year, change of location, moved over to Holland from England. So a lot to take in a really short time, but so far the transition's been really smooth, really happy with the setup and the environment and the team. And yeah, it's been a really good first week in camp.
Oh, fantastic. And congratulations on winning your 4th world title. How good is that?
Yeah, no, like it's amazing. And it's not until you sit here and you have interviews or you hear people say that you actually resent it, because you switch your focus so quick after you win a title to what comes next and the next one and how you're going to prepare for it. So you don't often sit still and kind of, you know, sit back and go, wow, like what you have achieved so far is pretty special. So hearing you say it is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's important to take time to just realize, isn't it, what you've actually achieved, which is a lot. And it's probably even more special, perhaps, because the year before you faced an injury. And so it's sort of almost coming back from injury.
Yeah, it definitely makes it harder. Anyone that's kind of had to face adversity or setbacks and injuries know that they're not easy to overcome. And especially the mental aspect of that, not only the physical aspect. And to do it, like you say, after a season that I got kind of, knocked down, to come back to redeem myself the next year was really it means a lot. It meant a lot to the people around me as well. There was so much work that went into last year's season, like than never before, I think. So yeah, personally, it felt pretty good.
Oh, that's great. And your mum was there to see you win that one for the first time, the first time she's seen you win a title.
Yeah, that was very special for sure. You know, your parents, they're the two people that have been on the road since the beginning with you. And that, yeah, like you say, this was the first one that my mum had actually been to when I'd won. So she'd only been to one other GP before. She's not a huge fan of watching me race, just for obviously her fears. And she doesn't like traveling so much or flying. So to get her over here was a pretty big deal. And I had a really good feeling like this weekend or that weekend I was going to be champion. And I really wanted her to experience one, you know, as I crossed the finish line and have her there.
Oh, absolutely. And so let's go back. Where it all began, you grew up outside Dunedin in Palmerston. Mm-hmm. How did you find a motorbike?
Yeah, grew up just north of Dunedin, and I was pretty lucky. Like, I grew up on a little lifestyle block, so we had a few paddocks in the backyard, and my stepdad, he had a bike and obviously encouraged me to get a bike, me and my brother to get a bike at the time. And yeah, it was just, I don't know how to describe it, it was just something about it. Yeah, I loved it. I loved just being out there riding my bike, and I can't pinpoint what it was, but yeah, here we are like 20 years later, still going at it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And when did you think, wow, I actually could do this as a career? This could actually be something I could be professional at.
Yeah, good question. I think for me, it started, although I wanted to win from day one, you know, like that was not just racing bikes. That was everything I did. I was ultra competitive, as my mom would say. So I wanted to win from the get-go, but other than that, like, I took it lightly. Like, there was no vision of where I was going to go with it, right? It was just a day-to-day thing, and let's go race with your buddies on the weekend and see how you can do. And it was like that for multiple years, probably until I was, I'm going to say, about 12. And there was a combination of things. There was the Junior World Championships that come to New Zealand, so it kind of exposed me to the international field and got to open my eyes in that sense. And then also I happened to catch on TV at the time the World Championships, females and males, and we had a couple of Kiwi icons racing overseas, and as soon as I saw that, I just inspired to that. Like, there was just something about that, and my heart was set on it. Like, I remember my dad was watching with me, and I was just like to him, like, that's going to be me one day. Like, I'm going to be there. And it wasn't even to the sense of, like, I hope I'm going to be there. I'd like to be there. It was like, no, I'm going to be there. So
Yeah, you
I guess I
absolutely
just,
knew.
yeah, for about 13, I guess.
Well, and how do you get to that level then? Do you have to compete multiple times across multiple events? It probably costs a lot of money.
Yeah, there's so much that goes into it. And I think that's why it means so much as well when you have success. And it's not just for myself, but my parents. And especially now that I'm older, like, I can sit here today and kind of look back and understand what they did in order to me to get these opportunities to be here. Like, without my parents, there's no way I would have been where I am. Like, I just wouldn't have been exposed to international racing from a young age. I was carted up and down the country from as young as like 10, racing every second weekend in the North Island because that's where the best races were. So that's what my parents did. You know, they would drive through the night, come home. I'd go to school Monday and they'd go to work and just everything. Like, my mum would take me to Dunedin once a week for a personal trainer. I had a nutritionist. It was so much going on behind the scenes. And little do you know that this is all going to part of the way for me to be here today. So just so much money, so much time, so much commitment. And then that opportunity finally rose with Yamaha in 2016. It was a one-off race for the first World Cup, and it was kind of like a do or die moment for me in terms of results. I knew, like, I had to go 1-1 and have a make a statement to go on further to sign a contract. So it's tough to get there, but obviously now we've kind of broken through to that. We have pretty good
and
support,
so much pressure for that one meet where you knew that everything was on the line, and then you obviously did it.
I will never forget that day. I will never forget it. I could not sleep the night before. My heart was racing, and I was like, man, like, I have to make it happen today. So thankfully we did, and here we are.
Yeah, how do you deal with those nerves? Because it is such a big event, isn't it? And you know, everything was on, everything, all the pressure, mm-hmm. so much pressure on that event, and you obviously stepped up.
Yeah, for sure. I've always thrived in those moments, in those situations when, you know, you have to perform. There's just something about that makes me dig a little deeper and find a way to make it happen. But obviously it starts with preparation, right? You need to prepare for it. And we had a really good lead into that first World Cup as well. So we were ready. And then mentally it helps you. You're there. You're like, you've done everything you can to be as ready as you can for this one moment. Now it's just about going out and finishing the job, making it happen. But with that being said, even that part's hard alone, and a lot of people struggle with it. And for me, it's just, I enjoy that. I love that challenge. I love to test myself and know that it's going to be difficult, but you always question, like, how am I going to handle it? I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, and it's obviously been working okay. At the time when you began, were there many other girls in the sport that you do?
Honestly, not really. No, not at all. Maybe a handful, one or two. There was not at all. Like, I raced the boys growing up, especially from a really young age. I think when I got to about 12, there was a girls' class, so I'd compete both. So I got double track time, and I really enjoyed that too. It was just like we could get more time on the bike and learn and get used to the track a little bit quicker. But there was hardly anyone in that class, and the gates weren't really full. And nowadays, like, even when I come back home and I go to a local race meet and I see the girls, and it just brings a smile to my face, like, seeing that transition and transformation over the years. It's amazing. It really is. Like, it's one of the biggest classes at the local races back home. And even world championship level now, it's tough. Like, you really have to be on your A game to win. And there's multiple girls that can win or that can at least podium. Whether when I first started, there was kind of like three or four of us and it was the same girls each time, but now it's a whole lot more depth involved in it.
What an incredible thing to look back on, and probably know that you've inspired a lot of those girls. Did you ever at the time think, why am I here? There's not many other girls around me. What am I doing here? Did you ever question that?
No, not at all. I didn't even. No, I was almost a little tomboy as well. So if there was a girls' class and a boys' class, I probably would have wanted to race the boys' class anyway.
Yeah.
For me, I don't know. I probably, if anything, had more motivation to beat the boys. And it definitely made me tougher. It made me more resilient. You know, they're a lot bigger, they're a bit lot stronger, they're faster, and you get chucked in the amongst that. And yeah, I grew up in that environment, so it was like normal for me.
Yeah. And you're like, watch me. I can do that too. And as a professional motocross rider, it takes you all around the world. You've been competing in Spain, Switzerland, Italy, France. What's that like? You must spend a lot of time away from New Zealand.
Yeah, I do. I do. I've spent a lot of time, and like you say, we're on the road a lot. This year we've got 7 World Cups throughout Europe, and yeah, it takes you to some beautiful spots for sure, like Northern Italy, and we're going to Madrid and all of these sorts of places. But honestly, it's pretty much strictly business. Like, you fly on a Friday morning and you're at the track in the afternoon for technical and kind of track walk, and then you're racing Saturday, Sunday. And if you can, you get a late flight out Sunday night, or you come home Monday, first thing Monday morning. So you don't see a whole lot, especially when the turnaround is really quick, like a couple of weeks, you need to get back to work. If we have a bit more of a break, I might stay on and have a couple of days to, you know, soak it in and have a look around, but that's very rare.
Gosh, it must be hard. You've just literally got to be focused every single day, don't you? There's hardly any downtime.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of downtime, especially when we're on the side of the world. I think when I go home, that's kind of like a little bit of my downtime, right? Like, I get to have fun with my friends and relax a little. You don't wake up with that championship pressure and all those pressures to deliver. And then as soon as you kind of arrive on the other side, it's almost like the switch flicks. As soon as I step on that plane, it's like, okay, it's business time. And you know, you got a job to do, and yeah, you get stuck in, and it's cool though. I enjoy it. Like, I have a really good team, a really motivating team, a great group of people around me, and I love waking up and going to work every day. Like,
oh, that's great.
I feel
You
like
have
I'm
to love
blessed
it,
to do
don't
what
you?
I do.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
think
you have
you
to.
just have to love it. Otherwise, it would be so hard to do that every single day and be away for so long.
Yeah, you're right. If there was no love for what I do and no purpose behind it, yeah, I wouldn't be over here, you know, because I do love home. I do love my friends or family. So, yeah.
Yeah, so, and let's talk about some setbacks. In 2022, you had that broken collarbone, and I read where you said that was like a reality check where you realized that you were a little bit complacent. I don't know how you would have come to that conclusion. It seemed like you were working pretty hard, but it kind of was like the wake up call for you.
Yeah, I would say so for sure. And to answer your question in terms of working hard, yes, like every time I show up to the gym or every time I show up to the track, I work hard. I'll give it my best. There's no doubt about that. I think it was more in terms of just kind of going through the motions more than anything, just not really reviewing the whole overview and seeing like where could we potentially make some gains and changes and this and that. And I didn't do that. I just stayed back home, and I was in Dunedin for off season, just riding the same tracks with the same people, and I didn't really step out of my comfort zone. And I think, you know, you got to step out of that comfort zone. That's where you see your biggest growth in life. So there was I felt like I didn't do that, and I paid price for it. And every year, whether you win or you lose, you need to review it. And you also, when you win, and I had won 3 at the time in a row, I felt like I almost just stayed on top of that ridge. Like, in reality, I should have dropped right back to the bottom and climbed back up to the top. And I felt like I just stayed there. So, yeah.
Isn't it
You live and you learn.
amazing how sometimes it's the setbacks, it's the failures that actually teach you so much. And it sounds like you really learned a lot from that year. And I guess looking back a few years, have you learned a lot along the way about setbacks and how to cope with that sort of thing? Because there are, you know, in any sport, there's always ups and downs.
100%. And yeah, people forget quickly, but I had a lot of tough times in those first few years, and they definitely made me like, they made me so much more resilient. They made me so much more smarter. And but at the same time, you have to be willing to take that in and learn from that. You can't keep doing that over and over again. And I think I really learned a lot from that. And like you say, in 2022, when I had that setback, I kind of learned what not to do in terms of preparation and decisions and stuff like that. So you definitely learn a lot more from your losses than you do your wins.
Yeah. And when I watch you racing, it's daunting to see the risks that you face. There's like slippery conditions, there's visibility problems. There's a lot of danger. I mean, how do you cope with that, having had a fall and broken your collarbone?
Yeah, I guess from the outside in, you can view it like that. When you've grown up in this environment and doing what we do, it's almost all you know. You don't see it like that. And that's, I guess, is why we practice. It's why we're on the bike every second day, is to limit those risks almost. For sure, there's always going to be, outside factors and, risks involved. But I think that's with most things. Yeah, you just have to be smart, really. You just have to be really smart, especially to win a championship.
Yeah, and you
And
didn't face any time where you were
also,
caught, where you were frightened or scared to get back on the track?
I think after each injury, you have like those the initial couple of days, right? Like where you're coming back from a knee or a
Ouch.
collarbone, you don't
Yeah.
want to kind of fall on it, but novelty soon wears off and you're back to it. But no, I've been very, very grateful that I have never had really fears like that, in terms of getting back on the bike and stuff. Yeah, no,
That's
I guess I
great.
just
You've just got a
it's
great mindset. You've just got, it
the
sounds like you're
way
really mentally strong, which is amazing.
working. Try to be.
Yeah, it's great. So what's next? You're chasing world title number five?
Yeah, that's what we're preparing for right now. Like I say, we're with a new team. We're based here in Holland with the FNH racing team, and I'm very, very excited. It's almost like I was saying to the team the other day, it's like you get those like rookie jitters. Like I'm so excited to be back. Like I haven't had this feeling in many years, and I think just with the group of people that I have around me, there's a lot of passion, there's a lot of energy, huge opportunities for me in terms of growth on the motorcycle here with the team I have. There's a lot of knowledge and experience, and we have a lot of resources, and it's just a really good group of people. Like I have a coach, that's a sand specialist as well, so like and a really
Wow.
good person. So I'm excited. I think we can do a lot this year, and yeah, hopefully chase that title number five.
Oh, wow, that's really exciting. And when you look around now, you're 28, which is still so young, but there are a lot of teenagers, aren't there, that are on the same track as you. Is that sort of great to have that experience that obviously you've got? That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, you can't buy experience. Experience is very valuable in anything you do. So hopefully that pays off. But yeah, like you say, there's a huge age range. To be fair, I think there's like some 17-year-olds and there's some girls in their 30s. So yeah, no, it's really cool. It's good to see the young ones coming through. They have a lot of raw speed, and they're eager and they want results and this and that. So they kind of keep you going. And I want to stay on top, so I just kind of continue to work and yeah, look for ways
Yeah,
to be better.
that's great. And so, looking back, if you were to think about your, say, 10-year-old self, would you say anything to you? What would you say to yourself if you had the chance?
That's a good question.
That's a tough one.
I think my parents did it pretty good, if I'm honest. My
Right.
dad was he was tough on me, really tough at times, but you look back and you understand why. He
And tough as
I
in what
think
he said, get back on that bike. If you've had a bad day, get back on that bike the next day.
yeah, just doesn't like you feeling sorry for yourself. Was a huge one on ownership, huge one on hard work gets results. Camaraderie, respect. I think just I was integrated with a lot of good values that I still have today, and they come from my parents. So I feel like they did a really good job in those terms. And I don't know. I think maybe one thing is maybe you don't need a rush. As a kid, I was very, very eager, and I wanted to be world champion from 13, and I was training every day. Like, and I know that drive's important, but it's like you have time to grow. You're going to be a world champion. Things take time. Have some patience sometimes. And I feel like sometimes I could have been a little guilty of rushing things or trying to keep up with the older kids instead of kind of looking towards my old age and my own age, because you mature and you grow within your age. And I was kind of always ch chasing the big kids. But I mean, everything has pros and cons to it. Maybe that gave me the drive. Maybe those challenges made me me. So looking back, yeah, I probably wouldn't have changed anything.
Yeah, and I mean, those challenges that you said you faced early on, I guess in a way that built you into that, that made you strong, that made you keep going. That's a good thing to have in a way, although it probably was awful at the time when you really wanted that success and it wasn't coming as quickly as you wanted it.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, I think as a young kid, that's when you learn the most, you know, that's where the habits come in. And yeah, I was exposed to a lot of challenges as a kid. And a lot of tough situations as well, and that I really had to figure it out and work for it. And yeah, it definitely helps today, eh? When you're on the other side of the world and things aren't going right and you can't see the bright light, but yeah, you know, you can pull through and make it happen.
And like lastly, I guess, what is it that you love about what you do? What is it? Is it the adrenaline? Is it the high jumps? Is it the just achieving more in your sport? What is it that you love about it?
I get asked this question every time, and you know, I still at 28, I still struggle to pinpoint exactly what it is. Like, it's not the heights, it's not the speed or the adrenaline. It's figuring it out. It's puzzling it together. Like, I love what I do, but for me, the love comes from progression. Like, having a bad day and coming home and figuring out where you went wrong and how you can improve and going back tomorrow and having another go at it. Or even if you get results, it's like micro gains, right? Where can we do this? And it's, I kind of treat it like a game almost. That's my love for it. And I have big goals, and I'm not done. Like, I still feel like I have so much more to achieve. So
I mean, how much longer can you stay in a sport like this? I mean, it sounds like the girls in their 30s that are doing it, women in their 30s, you could keep going.
Yeah, I think it's personal preference. Like, every sport, you know, you see girls playing football in their 30s, and some of the best athletes in their 30s. Look at LeBron James and Tom Brady. They get better and better, and you get smarter, you get wiser, and it just depends. It depends on the body. I feel like I'm in pretty good shape, and I am very professional in terms of making sure we recover really well, and what I put into my body and stuff like this. So that's definitely going to help in the long run as well.
Sounds like you've got it so sorted. Everything is just sorted. And I guess that's it. And you're in a great place. You've got a great new start this year. Oh. And all the best for an amazing 2024. We can't wait to see what you achieve. And we're also proud of you here in New Zealand.
Thank you so much. Yeah, like I say, a big year, so ready to get stuck in and see what we can achieve.
Well, thanks again for joining me on the podcast, Courtney.
No worries. Thanks so much.